Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Acts 13, and this is a scripture we looked at last week. If you didn't hear last week's message, go to the website, gatheredtheoutcast.com, and click on Radio Messages. And we talked about Saul and Barnabas being sent out after they had fasted and prayed and asked the Lord to direct them in what they should do. Then the Holy Spirit directed those men that were there in attendance, and the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me a Saul and Barnabas for the work which I called them to do." And that is Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." And so the implication here is that the Holy Spirit already has the work outlined. He had the work outlined for Saul and Barnabas. And beloved, I believe that the Holy Spirit has the work outlined for you. I believe that God has a plan for you. And I don't believe it's just sitting on the couch being a couch potato, or I don't believe it's just going to church once a week and sitting there and then going home and not doing anything for the kingdom of God. Praise God that you go to church. Praise God that you are there. But God has something greater for you. And if you're listening to my voice today, if you're listening and you don't know what God has for you, then I'm going to outline the steps how you can discover what the Holy Spirit has for you and how you can know when you go forward if you are doing the will of God. Well, first of all, it says in that scripture that they were ministering to the Lord. Well, what does that mean? How can we minister to the omniscient, all-powerful God? How can we minister to Him and receive then direction from the Holy Spirit? Well, there's three things, basically, that you have to do to minister to the Lord. And the first of these is you need to spend time in prayer every day. You need to spend time in your secret place and not just praying for your petitions, the things that you need, money to pay your bills or better health or interceding for your children or your grandchildren or whoever, but also to minister to the Lord in prayer means just to wait on the Lord and to ask the Lord, "Lord, reveal to me what you want me to do for your kingdom. Reveal to me your perfect plan for your life." And as you spend time in prayer and in fasting, as you ask the Lord to reveal to you, maybe you've never done anything outside of just church attendance and Bible study. That's great if that's what you've done. That's good preparation. But God then wants you to go to the work, just like He did Saul and Barnabas. So first of all, you need to spend time in prayer. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us this: "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So be diligent. In other words, be persistent and do not shrink back. Stay steady, stay diligent, and present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, the only way that you can rightly divide the word of truth, and the only way that you can present yourself unashamed before God as a workman, is that you need to be, first of all, you need to be diligent. You have to make up your mind this is what you want to do. Just as Paul said that there's only one that wins the race, we're in a race, and there's only one that wins. Not everybody is going to win, and so you have to make up your mind that you're in the race for the kingdom of God, and the devil wants to drag you out of the race, but you have to make up your mind that you're going to study, that you're going to present yourself before God as a workman who is rightly dividing the word of truth, and the only way that you can do that is study God's word and spend time in prayer. And then the third thing that you need to do is to worship. Spend time in worship, just worshiping the Lord and thank Him for what He has done for you in the past year. Thank Him for what He has done in your life. Thank Him for what He has done in the life of your family, your children. And then also ask the Lord, Lord, I praise your mighty name. I want to bring glory and honor to your name. I want to worship you through my work, through the things that I do here on this earth. I want to worship you. I want to bring glory and honor to your name. And so if you spend time in those three things, first in prayer, second, and in Bible study so that you know God's word, and third, in worship so you bring glory and honor to him through your worship and people see in your life that you are worshiping the King of Kings. It's not just a private thing. You worship in public. You worship when you are in the presence of other people. You praise him. You thank God for the little things in your life. And as you worship him and you study God's word and you spend time in prayer, God will reveal to you what he wants you to do for the kingdom of God. Well, in Matthew 4:1, right after Jesus was baptized, it says the Holy Spirit led him up into the wilderness. And so this was the time when Jesus was making a declaration to the devil. He went up there to be tempted by the devil, and he was making a declaration to the devil that he was going to set about to do the work that God had sent him to the earth to do. And so Jesus Christ went up into the wilderness. You can read the whole chapter. I'm not going to preach on the whole chapter of Matthew 4, but it is a very interesting chapter because the Son of God, who was preparing to go into the work, the Son of God, did these things that we're talking about. First, he prayed. He went up into the wilderness area, and he fasted, and he prayed. And then at the end of that time of prayer, which was 40 days, at the end of that time of fasting, then he was tempted by the devil. The devil knew that he was hungry. The devil came to him, and the devil started to tempt him with all the temptations that you and I face. And Jesus Christ faced every temptation. It tells us in Hebrews that we have a high priest who has faced every temptation. He has known every temptation that you and I will ever know, and he passed the test. Did not give in to temptation. He did not give in to sin. He passed the test. And so we know that we have a high priest that sympathizes with us and can identify with the temptations and identify with the weaknesses and identify with our failings because he has been through every test that we will ever face. Matthew 4:1, then Jesus was led up into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And then verse 3, now the tempter came to him and started to speak to him and say to him, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, if you are all powerful, turn these stones into bread. And that's just one of the things that the devil came to him and tried to tempt him, and he tried to get Jesus to turn away from God's plan for his life. But my point is this, is that if Jesus Christ himself had to spend time in prayer and in fasting to seek the Lord for the direction and to seek the Lord for what the Lord had for him and for what the Lord's will for his life was, and to solidify within himself against the tempter, against the temptations that the devil was bringing to him and offering to him, if Jesus Christ had to do this himself, don't you think you and I need to spend time in prayer and fasting to see the plan that God has for us? Well, I would say we certainly do. I know in my life, I certainly need to spend time in prayer. I need to spend more time in prayer. And so I would encourage you also to spend time in prayer, and especially at this time of the year, at this season, right at the first of the year. This is a great time to spend some time in prayer and fasting and ask the Lord what it is that he wants you to do to expand the kingdom of God. Well, another example we can look at in Scripture is Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king, and he was in captivity over in Babylon, and word came to him that the walls of Jerusalem, his old city, the walls were broken down and the gates were burned with fire. This is Nehemiah 1:3, and then verse 4, it says, and so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and praying and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the Lord. And then in verse 10, Nehemiah says, O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant who desires to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. And this man that he's talking about was the king, because Nehemiah had been given a burden to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the walls, which from his point of view, from where he sat and from where he was located, this looked like a huge project. This looked like an impossible project. This looked like something that could never, ever be accomplished by his own strength and by his own initiative and by his own provision. And so he was praying to the Lord. He was crying out, and he was fasting. He was mourning. He was weeping. And he was saying to the Lord, Lord, how in the world am I going to be able to accomplish this? The walls are broken down, and the gates are burned. Everything is in shambles. And here I sit, Lord, I have a burden for this project, I have a burden to rebuild the walls, and I ask you, Lord, to help me, and I ask you, Lord, to strengthen me, and I ask you, Lord, to open up the ears of this man so when he hears me and open up his sight, so when he sees me, he knows that there is something greater at work and that he is a part of helping me to rebuild the walls. And in Nehemiah 2:4 it says, the king said to me, what do you request? And so I prayed to heaven, and then Nehemiah started to tell the king about this burden that he had on his heart. And up until that time, the only thing that had been visible in Nehemiah's life was that there was a sadness upon his face, this burden that he had for Jerusalem. There was a sadness that manifested in his presence and in his countenance. And the king noticed it. The king saw it. And he said, how can I help you? What do you request? And if you go on to read the story of Nehemiah, you know that the king agreed with his request to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And not only did the king agree to his request, but the king wrote letters to allow Nehemiah to have safe passage through all the enemy territory and to allow Nehemiah to have provision for everything that he needed, wood and supplies and provision for everything that he needed to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And so as you ask the Lord and you pray and you weep over the walls that are down in your life, maybe you see a project that needs to be done. Maybe you see something in your family that needs great intercession. As you take on a burden for these projects, God will bring people beside you, even people who may not be Christian, even people who you never considered would help you. God will speak to them through the Holy Spirit. He will touch them. And God will bring people beside you that can bring provision for you and everything that you need. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And I've seen it over and over in my ministry when I get ready to go to Africa to preach or do some other kind of project. God always brings people beside us that can bless us. And God always brings provision. And so God can put his burden on other people that you have, and he will do that through the Holy Spirit, and you will end up being able to accomplish the projects and the burdens that God puts in your heart. You'll be able to accomplish those even more than you ever imagined. You'll be able to accomplish those for the kingdom of God. Well, Ephesians 2:10 tells us this, that we are his workmanship. We are Christ's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so we're not saved by our works. You know, maybe you have some spirit of religion that says, if I can just get this done, if I can just go out and build something for the kingdom or do some great mission trip or whatever, you're not saved by those works. You're not saved by the things that you do. You can't bake enough pies for the church dinners. to save yourself and to get yourself into heaven. It doesn't work that way. You're not saved by your works. You're saved for good works. You're saved through by grace through your faith in Jesus Christ, but you are saved for good works so that after you come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and after your salvation, then God starts to put into your heart and through the Holy Spirit, He starts to set you apart for the work that you were called to do, and He starts to set you apart for the work which He declared over you even before you were born. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, and it's plans to give you a hope and a future, and it's plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And so God knew even before Jeremiah was born in Jeremiah 1, He knew that Jeremiah had been, that He had set aside Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations. And some of you out there listening to me today, God has set you aside to do something. You haven't moved into it, but I can tell you that when you start to move in it, you will know that this is from God, and you will know that He is the one who ordained you to do this, just as He has ordained others, and you watch them in their ministry, or you watch them in their work, and you admire them, you envy them, and God has the very same for you, beloved. He has the very same for you, and He will speak to you, and He will show you what that place in ministry is. Well, Ephesians 4:11 describes the fivefold ministry. I'm not going to teach a great deal on the fivefold ministry today, but the Scripture tells us this, and He, Jesus, gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, and some as teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. And so it tells us in that Scripture that the ministry positions, the fivefold ministry, these are the office gifts of the church. These are the office gifts of the body of Christ. These are like the steel girders, the steel structure that holds up the body of Christ. That these office gifts, some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, some as teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. And you may say, well, Jim, I'm not a prophet, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a teacher, I'm not an apostle. Well, if you spend time in prayer, beloved, if you spend time in Bible study, if you spend time in worship, and you cry out to the Lord, He just might show you that you are one of those. He just might show you that you have a place in the body of Christ and that you have been given a gift that you just haven't unearthed yet. You have that gift, and God has it for you. He declared it over you even before you were born, but you have been so shallow in your seeking of Him, and you have been so reluctant and procrastinating in your seeking of Him that you have never unearthed that gift. It's like having a buried treasure out there in your yard and you never even knew it because you haven't scratched around in the yard. And so God has possibly for you one of the office gifts, and it's not for you, beloved. It's not so you can just sew on your uniform another badge and say, well, this is what I am. God could care less about that. And His purpose for you, and the reason Jesus gave the fivefold office gifts, was for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of body of Christ, that we can all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Well, that's a lot of words there that Paul laid out, but basically what he's saying is we want to make an impact in the unity of faith. We want to make an impact as believers in the body of Christ. We want to equip not only ourselves, but other people in the body for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. And beloved, I can tell you that right now in America and in other nations that I've been in, the body of Christ needs great building. The body of Christ needs a lot of fortification. The walls are down. The gates are burned. The devil is going in and out of our countries. The devil is going in and out of our families. The devil is going in and out of our lives. And I can tell you, the body of Christ needs a lot of building up. And the body of Christ needs a lot of encouragement and exhortation, and so that we can attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Well, God desires that His name be known all over the earth. God desires that His name be known even to the remotest parts of the earth, to every tribe and every tongue and every nation. And if you care about having Jesus' name known in every tribe and tongue and nation, you'll get up off the couch and you'll do something about it. And that is God's will. Maybe you can't go to the remotest parts of the earth. Maybe you can't even go to the next block or the next city because of your physical condition or something. I don't know what your particular situation is. But I know this, you can send people. I know this, that God has a plan for you no matter your physical condition. I know this, that God has a plan for you. No matter how inadequate you think you are, God has a plan for you. And if you will seek Him and search out that plan, God will show it to you. And as you move forward in it, you will be fulfilled. You will be blessed. You will receive that 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing. And you will know that this is what God has for you. Well, in 1 Corinthians 12:18, God talks about all the members in the body of Christ, the various members, their function, their role, their place. And He says in 1 Corinthians 12:18, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desires. But now there are many members, but one body. And you may think, well, I'm just a little finger, or I'm just an earlobe, or I'm just a little toe. You are something in the body of Christ. You are something. Maybe you're not the beating heart or the liver or the brain, but you are something in the body of Christ. And do not discount and do not put aside the fact that God has something for you, and He wants you to fulfill your part in the body of Christ. And again, I can't emphasize enough that each of us are important in the body of Christ. Each of us has a role to play. And if you don't know what your role is, if you have not walked into it and stepped into it, then you need to go back to step one, to the prayer, to the fasting, to the Bible study, and to the worship. And God will reveal it to you as you spend more time with Him. As you seek Him, you will find Him. As you search for Him, He will show you great and mighty things of which you have not known. And so that is plan one. Plan two is that once He shows you, is that you go. Once He reveals to you what your place is and what your purpose, what your burden is, then you go. You don't fear. You know that God will provide for you. You don't fear. You move forward in strength and in boldness, and you move forward and you accomplish for the kingdom things that you never imagined that you could accomplish for the kingdom. And so that has been the testimony of my life. There was never a person that was more inadequate. There was never a person that was more unfit or ill-equipped to do what God called me to do. And yet in every circumstance that God has put me in a place where He wants me to build up the body of Christ and to equip the saints and to minister for His kingdom, He has provided for me, He has encouraged me, He has strengthened me, and He has given me the provision to do it. Well, the last directive that we need to take into consideration is that Jesus says to go. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone wishes to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For everyone who wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake shall find it. And so Jesus said, if you want to find your life, you lose it for the kingdom, you lose it for My sake. And if you wish to take up your cross and deny yourself, then you're going to be following Me. Then you're going to be following My example, and you will receive the kingdom blessings when you put that cross, your cross, on your shoulder and walk up the hill with it. Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission. Jesus said to the disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching all that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." Well, the end of the age has not come yet. Jesus is with you, Jesus is with me, and he will command you, and he will send you. If you say, "Yes, I want to go," he will send you, and he will send you even to the remotest parts of the earth. Well, beloved, I hope you go today. I hope you pray today. Find out what God wants you to do, and then do it. And if we all do that together, we will move forward, and we will move the kingdom of God forward here in this place, in this day, and in this time. We have a great book offer, Gather the Outcasts, Reaching the Lost in Africa is the book that we are offering for a donation of any amount. We'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned for contact information. And I thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week and have a great week.